Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
With Christmas celebrations now past, we turn our hearts and our perspective to a new year, 2011. Today we're going to discover how to finish strong, how to begin the new year strong as well. That's next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chapman. The Bible is filled with great examples of fantastic finishers, men who trusted God throughout the course of their life. It's important at a time such as this, the beginning of a new year, the end of this past year, that we set our hearts and sights upon the new year and that we renew our passion to be finishers, to grow in our faith, and to continue running the race with patience. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And we're going to finish out the year of 2010 with this series, Faith to Finish. We're going to study some of the Bible's greatest finishers with Dr. Chapel. Before we join the message, I want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Find out more about our ministry. You'll find a lot of resources to help you in your walk with the Lord in the new year. It's all to be found at dailyintheword.org. But now let's turn our hearts to the Word of God. Here's Pastor Chapleton introduced today's message.
Today we study the life of Moses, and as we come to the end of this year, we're reminded of the fact that our God is a faithful God. We see the faithfulness of God in calling Moses and using Moses, a man who was self-conscious, a man who had sin in his life, and yet a man chosen by God. I thank the Lord that He wants to use each of our lives for His glory, and it's my prayer that today's lesson from Exodus chapter 2 will remind each and every one of us that if He could use Moses, then He can use us in the new year for His glory.
Everybody in the auditorium this morning has had a time in their life when they have failed, and maybe many times in your life when you'd say, I blew it. I have failed in this area, or I have failed in that particular area. And it seems like whenever we have those setbacks or whenever we fail, that our adversary, the devil, comes along and either jumps on our back or whispers into our ear something like this. He says, you have done irreparable damage. There's no way that you're ever going to make it in the Christian life, so why even try any harder? And the devil is the accuser of the brethren, and he just constantly is doing what he can do to get Christians to quit. And yet the fact of the matter is that you're going to learn with me today about a man by the name of Moses who was mightily used of God after a great failure in his life. Failure on God's economy is not to be final. And we see that in Moses' life. In fact, we see that sometimes God wants to use failure as a way of preparing us to go forward in the Christian life. I think, for example, of many great men of the past who have experienced what would seem like one failure after another, only to finally be placed in a position of usefulness by the sovereign hand of God. For example, here's a man who at age 22 failed in business. At age 23, ran for state legislature and failed and was defeated. At age 24, started another business that failed. At age 26, his wife passed away. At age 27, he had a nervous breakdown. At age 29, he was defeated. for Speaker of the House. At age 31, he was defeated for elector. At age 34, he was defeated for Congress. At age 37, he was elected to Congress. But at age 39, he was defeated for Congress. At age 46, he was defeated for Senate. At age 47, he was defeated for Vice President. At age 49, he was defeated for Senate. And at age 51, he was elected the President of the United States of America, and his name was Abraham Lincoln. Now, prior to being elected as president, people would have said, the guy's a failure. Everything he tries just doesn't seem to work. And yet, Abraham Lincoln would testify that it was through those failures that God was teaching him lessons in his heart. It was through those difficult days that God was preparing him for the time when he would face some of the most difficult situations ever faced by any nation. Now, Moses was a man who obviously God had a plan for him from the very beginning. When he was born, his mother Jochebed realized that the king of Egypt had a decree whereby all of the firstborn males of Israel were to be murdered, their lives were to be snuffed out. And so Jochebed, recognizing that edict was made by the king of Egypt, she took Moses to hide him from Pharaoh and placed him in the River Nile amidst the bulrushes where she hoped his life would be sustained. And much to her surprise, as she one day observed, the Pharaoh's daughter, walking out towards the river, saw little Moses there in that basket made with the oil pitch, and she was able to take Moses and bring her into the palace. Having now been brought to the palace and saved by the grace of God, Moses was raised up in Egypt, raised up amongst the finery of Egypt, and raised up with the finest of Egypt's education. You might say he went to the Oxford schools of Egypt, for the Bible says in Acts 7:22 that Moses was learned in all wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in his words and deeds. When you study Moses' life, you could break it into three parts. The first 40 years of Moses' life were years of unqualified success, great training, and great opportunities at every turn. Then came a sin in his life, which we'll see in a moment. And following that sin, there were 40 years of undisputed failure, 40 years of loneliness and isolation. Then we'll see in the final 40 years of Moses' life, he was finally ready to be used of God. Some of the dearest friends that Terry and I have are Dr. and Mrs. Daniel Kim. Dr. and Mrs. Kim serve at the Bible Baptist Church of Seoul, Korea. He has pastored there for 42 years. And Mrs. Kim has a very interesting testimony. She is from North Korea. Her father brought her during the war on his back, brought her down to the southern part of Korea, and there placed her with friends. Soon after that, the 38th parallel line was drawn at the demilitarized zone. And as you know, many thousands of families were separated from that point forward. Mrs. Kim, since that day, was not able to see her parents or her brother or her sisters who live in North Korea. And a few years ago, as we were with them, we were able to stand and look over into North Korea as we did just a few days ago as well. And I'll never forget, as Mrs. Kim looked into North Korea, and as she saw the devastated hillsides, and as she thought of her family that she'd never seen, she began to weep. And as the tears flowed down her face, she began to sing a song that I've often heard her sing, entitled, "I Want to Do Thy Will, O Lord." And the chorus to that song says these words, "Take me, break me, mold me, and make me. Take me, break me, mold me, and make me. I want to do thy will, O Lord." Her testimony is that if that trial is what God intends to prepare her heart for greater usefulness, then she will thank God for the trial of being separated from her family. I want you to know that the trials and the separations and the lonely times of this life are often God's best teachers to our soul, God's way of helping us that we might be used by Him. Now, when you look at the life of Moses, you're going to see times of brokenness, times of molding, times of preparation before the times of great usefulness. Let's notice, first of all, in our outline this morning found there in your bulletin, the refusal of Moses. There comes a point in God's economy of time with Moses when God refuses to use him any longer. The Bible tells us that God sees the sin of Moses. You'll notice this sin recorded in chapter 2 and verse 11. It came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Now you'll recall with me that Moses was an Israelite, yet he had been raised up in the home of the Egyptian king. Nevertheless, as he walks out one day, he sees an Egyptian taking and beating an Israelite and forcing him to work manual labor. Moses' heart of compassion rose to a point even of indignation. He did not like to see his brother treated in this way. And so the Bible says in verse 12 that he looked this way and he looked that way, and when no one was looking, he took justice into his own hands and smote the Egyptian. Now, I want you to note something by way of observation. Moses looked this way and he looked that way, but he failed to look that way. And we see one of the great mistakes and sins of Moses' life, the great failure of Moses' life, was because he did not look up and consider what God wanted him to do. A lot of people today will consider these options and what this one and that one says, and they'll become convinced many times in their own heart that what they're doing is right. But I want to remind you that God's word is always right, and it is never right to do wrong in order to do right. And so Moses, though he had a right love for the Israelites, he is involving himself here in something that is absolute sin in the eyes of God. Perhaps Moses was filled with too much self-esteem. Perhaps he came to the place of thinking he could take the law into his own hands. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low. You see, a wrong kind of self-consciousness or self-pride will evidence itself in prayerlessness. Here he looked this way and this way, but he didn't look this way. And so he made a wrong decision. Now, to be sure, Moses' love for the children of Israel was wonderful. It was right. But we see further than that love, a choice that was made that was not right. And that was the choice to take another man's life. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:24, by faith Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. And he esteemed the riches of Egypt as nothing compared to the riches of Christ. And what a wonderful love he had as he identified with the children of Israel. But again, he made a terrible, terrible mistake in bringing justice into his own hands. And so God sees his sin. When God saw the sin and the pride of Moses' heart, then God secondly moved Moses to a place of further training. God moved Moses to a place of training. In chapter 2 and verse 15, the Bible says, now when Pharaoh heard of this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now here we see Moses, having been raised up with the fineries of Egypt, having been surrounded by Pharaoh's daughter and all of the luxuries of her court. Now, because of this sin, he is removed to Midian. And there in the land of Midian, he's seated on a well in a moment of loneliness, in a time that would develop for 40 years of separation. What a time this must have been. Here we see that God was going to cause him to wait and endure times of loneliness because of the sin. Notice thirdly, God changes Moses' vocation. God's going to give Moses a whole new job title. Instead of being a leader of men, he's going to become a leader of sheep. And God's going to cause him to go through a time of waiting. Notice the Bible says in verse 16, now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. One can only imagine the type of feelings Moses was experiencing, the thoughts that he was having. he would have been a prime candidate for what we call today midlife crises. For all of the dreams and all of the aspirations he had were now come to naught. He was nowhere near where he thought he would be. His business plan was not at all what he thought it one day would perhaps be. He was from the top to the bottom in just a matter of a few days. You know, history is filled with instances of men and women who had their entire life script rewritten by one circumstance, by one funeral, by one pink slip, by one difficulty. Their entire life's plans changed. Back in 1940, Winston Churchill became the Prime Minister of England, and most of Britain was defeated socially and certainly in war and certainly in their emotions at that time. And Churchill got onto the airwaves, and with rousing speeches, he challenged the people to stand up and fight against the wickedness of Hitler. And 5 years later, Great Britain, along with her allies, won a tremendous victory over Hitler and his army. But did you know that exactly 3 months after their emancipation, 3 months after their great victory over Hitler, Great Britain showed their thanks to Churchill by voting him out of office? And that seems to be the way of human nature. It seems as though right when someone thinks they're at the pinnacle of their life and things are just going so great, boom, all of a sudden everything changes. And that's what was happening in Moses' life. Overnight, Moses went from the palace to the pasture, from success to failure, from wealth to poverty, from significance to insignificance, from privilege to persecution, from freedom to being a felon, from a life of purpose to a life of no purpose whatsoever, from a great future to a grim future. Moses' life was changed. He was refused by God, and he was turned away to the pasture at Midian. There may be someone here right now, and you feel as though your life is turned upside down and you don't know how to finish the race that you were trying to run. I want to remind you of the fact today that God has not forgotten you and that God has a purpose right now at this moment in your life. And that brings us to the second thought, the refining of Moses. You see, Moses got into this predicament because he looked this way and that way, but he failed to look that way. How many of you would be honest enough to say, Pastor Chappell, there have been some times in my life when I looked that way and I looked that way, but I forgot to look that way, and because of that, I failed. Anybody want to be honest with me this morning? My hand's up. You know, when we look that way and that way, but we don't look that way, there's going to be a turning back, if you will. There's going to be a waiting period. But during that time of waiting, if we will allow it, God will begin a refining process in our hearts. And he does that in Moses' life. God sent Moses to Midian for a purpose. And we're going to learn this morning that all of the fiery trials our Father filtered, and that God was far from finished with Moses. Notice, if you would, in chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Now I want you to take note of that phrase, the backside of the desert. Now, folks, I want you to realize that Moses has gone from palatial surroundings to rough-hewn surroundings of the backside of the desert. But it was here in this place that God was going to give him a master's degree in character development. It was here in this place that God was going to start working in Moses' heart like never before. Some of you feel like you're in the backside of the desert. Some of you would say, I'd rather be in such and so place. I'd rather have such and such job. I'd rather. And you know what? Sometimes you're tempted to look this way and that way, but if you're not careful, you're going to find that God will answer your prayer requests, but he will send leanness to your soul. In other words, many people who say, I'm tired of this desert experience, I'm tired of my marriage, I'm tired of my job, I'm tired of this, they look this way and that way, they make their decision, and guess what? They get to another address, but spiritually, they're nowhere near what God intended for them to become. Now, God is going to say, Moses, you made one mistake, but if you'll just listen to me here through these trials, I'll begin to refine your life. Now, let's look at some of the trials Moses had. Let's see if any of you have ever had similar trials. First of all, he was refined through unemployment. Unemployment. Wow. Nothing worse than going out looking for a job. But that's exactly what Moses is doing. He's now out of the palace. He's sitting at the side of the well. Though he was a scholar, though he was a statesman, though he had the finest training of his day, he is in a situation of unemployment. Did you know that the USA Today newspaper reported this past week that 20% of all Americans worry about their job? They worry about the future of their job. And certainly Moses was in a transition with his employment. Sometimes people who are unemployed feel a great discouragement in their heart and in their self-worth, quote unquote. And yet oftentimes, while we do not know how long a trial like that will last, we know that through that suffering, God begins to qualify us for greater usefulness unto Him. We know that in Moses' life, there was a great transition, but that God would use that transition. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." That verse always captures my attention. It's in your notes. Look at it there. It says, "Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." In other words, God says sometimes we need heaviness. Sometimes we need to lift weights. Sometimes we need to go through the times of unemployment and the times of difficulty. Why? Because it's during those times when finally we pray and we say, "God, I need your help." It's during those times when finally someone will come to church. Finally someone will open the Bible. In other words, prior to that, they're looking this way and that, and they're figuring out life on their own. But now, out of work and out of hope, they're willing to look this way. My friend, God is much more interested in His relationship with you than you really realize. And He'll use even those trials to get us to look to Him. So through unemployment, God was working. Secondly, through waiting and loneliness. Through waiting and loneliness. Notice verse 15 again. He sat down by the well. And when you read verses 16 through 20, this account of Moses' time there in the land of Midian, just five or six verses describe 40 years of his life. Just five or six verses. It was a time of loneliness. It was a time of waiting. And we see that Moses' life in these 40 years, there was nothing all that fantastic about it. It was simply a time in the worldly sense of going through the mundane aspects of work and waiting. But in the spiritual sense, there were some very fantastic things happening. Moses was learning who God was and who he was. He was learning how to die to himself. He was learning that God needed to be acknowledged in every decision. You see, God is more interested in the character ladder than the corporate ladder. God wanted his character to develop. Now, you might be at a job, for example, right now, and you feel like, "Man, this job is going nowhere. And they don't treat me like I should be treated. And what am I even doing here?" And so forth. But now, wait a minute. The right thing to do this morning would be to say, "Lord, why do you have me in this job? God, there's something you want me to learn here. There's some way you want to use me here." And while Moses was in Midian, God was still at work in his heart. You see, friend, God is not on a FedEx timetable.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, the daily radio program and teaching and preaching ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell, the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and the president of West Coast Baptist College. If today's message has been an encouragement and a blessing to you, perhaps consider going online. You can download this message in its entirety, this program in its entirety, and also recent series from Daily in the Word through our podcast or through the website when you visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. I also want to encourage you to refer a friend to dailyintheword.org. Let them know about the great Bible teaching and preaching that you're receiving, and they can receive that as well anytime, 24/7 at dailyintheword.org. I want to invite you to prayerfully consider partnering with us financially this month. This is an important time of year to consider how God might allow you to impact others with the gospel of Christ. And a great way to do that is through the ministry of Daily in the Word. Your gift of any amount is so important to helping us continue this radio program on this station and others like it all across the country. And this month, when you will partner with us, we want to send you a gift of appreciation. And it's a Christmas CD, a solo piano CD that will encourage your heart, entitled A Quiet Christmas with Christ. You can partner with us online at dailyintheword.org by clicking on the donate button, or you can call us toll-free. The number is 1-800-201-7748. Again, 1-800-201-7748. We also love to hear from you by mail. You can send a letter to 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. I want to remind you, visit us at dailyintheword.org. You'll find a treasury of resources for your spiritual growth, including a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell, a link to the Daily in the Word podcast, and lots of other information. Be sure to check out the information on the Alaska cruise. We're headed to Alaska in August of 2011, and we would love to meet you and fellowship with you during that week on this special adventure. Be sure to consider prayerfully partnering with us financially. Your gift to this ministry on a monthly basis would be so appreciated and would go so far in helping us to continue expanding the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ all across the country through this program. You can partner with us online at dailyintheword.org. Our toll-free number, 1-800-201-7748. Thanks so much for letting this program minister to you today. And until next time, have a great day.